We've had a blessed time for the last 2 weeks, and we're looking forward to it tonight. And I hope you'll settle in there and let Brother Shannon be used of the Lord to minister to you and then teach you a few things. You've got your handout. If you don't have one, if you just, anybody need one that didn't get one on the way in? One-on-one? Okay. Looks like everybody does. We can get you. All right, Brother Shannon, why don't you come and just sit back and get ready to take some notes on your sheet of paper. I believe the Lord will use this in your life.
Amen. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to teach tonight, and certainly count it a privilege. As I shared with you last week, this material is not something that is original to me. The reference that you saw on your survey that you took came from, much of that came as a framework for a Bible study that I put together and developed for our Sunday school class not too long ago. And so I'll be sharing some stories and some things from that reference, but also really get into God's Word tonight just as we did last week. And so you have your handout, and before you start getting nervous and you say, well, okay, this is the seven money types, okay, and you're doing your math, and you're saying, okay, we did two last week, we're going to do two this week, and you think, wow, I don't know if I can handle, you know, that many more of these. Well, next week's going to be a summary, okay, so we're going to do two more tonight, and then next week will be a very brief summary of the remaining three, and Brother Wade Farmer will be here, and he'll tie this up and really summarize it well as he began week before last and talked about stewarding your legacy and God's desire to strengthen our relationships with him by our knowledge and understanding of how he has made us. And tonight we're going to look at two more Bible characters as we look at the seven money types. And so, again, each of these Bible characters reveal a virtue of Christian living. And even if you didn't take the survey and you came tonight and you have no idea what this survey is, you can learn from these principles, from these spiritual characters in God's Word as we study in the Old Testament. So this series isn't really, again, about what to do with money and how to invest, but it's about really strengthening our relationship with the Lord and strengthening our desire to know how he has made us. And so, again, you have the survey of results. You may find that one of the characters that we talk about tonight is one of the ones that you scored high on. And so you may find very things that relate to you, like the basic beliefs and the core characteristics and things that we'll talk about tonight. Last week, we talked about Moses and Abraham, and tonight we'll talk about Isaac and Aaron. And so if that's something you relate to, you can listen up real close and hopefully find some similarities. But it's interesting, the pastor, if you were here Sunday night, he taught out of and preached out of Exodus 31 and on the life and the ministry, how God used Bezalel. And the illustration really there for us is these same characteristics that we're studying. God used Bezalel in a great way because he had the workmanship. And here we're going to find out tonight, and we did last week, about these two characters and how God can help us learn from them and apply this to our life. So let's pray and we'll get right into our study. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, as we look into your word and study these two men, Lord, and how you used them and how you made them and how we can learn from them, Lord, help open our hearts. Lord, pray that you'll help me. Lord, help me to say exactly what you desire for us to study tonight. We pray in your name. Amen. So you've got your Bibles. If you want to turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 26 and verse number 22, we will start there with the slides. If you'll help me out, Rick, to get me going in the right direction. I'm on the second slide. Thank you. All right, we've made it. Okay, so Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 22 is our key text here as we study this idea and this characteristic of Isaac. And so we're going to find out that, look a little bit about Isaac and find out his strength and find out how God made him. Again, in Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 22, we'll read together and it says, "And he removed thence and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Robeth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And so as we're looking at Isaac and the basic beliefs and the core beliefs of Isaac, we see that Isaac had a strength of discipline. And we see that he was obedient even in the way that he faced opposition and some of the things that we see. So we're going to find out that he was faithful in this idea of discipline in his life. And so we see the Isaac types, they have organized budgets, and they plan for the future. And we also see that they're disciplined, and they base that on the fact that they're honoring God in their what He has given them and entrusted them to do. So we see that this idea of discipline in their life, in the life of Isaac. And so we see the idea of the basic beliefs, obedience in opposition. And so we see here, you're in the book of Genesis in chapter 26, and we see this in Isaac's life, and we see that even in the face of opposition, he was obedient. In verses 2 and 3 of chapter 26, we see, "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give thee all these countries, and I will perform the oaths which I swear unto Abraham thy father." If you are familiar with this, again, in verse 1, it talks about the famine in the land. He was in the face of great opposition, yet he was obedient to the Lord, obedient to what God had said and what God had led him in. And he also sowed seed in famine. If we go on later in that chapter, and we see in verse 12, it says, "And then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. And he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him." And so we see that he was sowing seed in famine and was trusting in the Lord and had great discipline in his life. So Isaac types believe that money should be maximized. And so we see here that it's a reflection of God and who makes the most of resources. Countless times in God's Word, we can read countless stories and understand countless times where God took very little and made very, very great of things. And praise the Lord for an almighty God that's in control of all things. And we see this in this idea of money should be maximized. Here we see Isaac types oftentimes will take $1 and turn it into 10. And it's not self-centered, but rather they just want to use the full potential of what they have. And they're motivated by not what is better, but rather the sense of what is the most. In other words, what can I get the most of out of what God has given me and blessed me with? And so we see this countless times in God's Word. And so, again, we see, let's go ahead and go to the next slide for me, please. Again, we see this organized budgets. We see the discipline in honoring God. We also see in the next slide that Isaac types view God really bringing good into the world and helping in these plans. And there's an illustration that shows this in the life of Isaac. And we see that there's a gentleman. His name is Joseph Bullen. And Joseph, he found that he enjoyed Christmas and enjoyed Christmas in July. And I find that even in this season, I feel like that it's a race to see which store can put out the first Christmas ornament, the first Christmas tree for sale, you know, in retail, because it seems like you see it earlier and earlier and earlier. But this particular gentleman, he found that he could maximize his resources by enjoying Christmas in July. So what he found out is he found a love for unique Christmas ornaments. And he found that he could buy these Christmas ornaments when they went on sale and went on the greatest discount. And he could turn around and sell these very unique ornaments for a higher price when the season came into be and when those ornaments were in very high demand. And what he found out is he could maximize his resources. And in fact, the story goes on to tell that he used these resources to go on a trip and provide for his family and so forth. But here is an idea of Isaac and the very disciplined nature of the Isaac type. And this idea that they honor God and see this potential and this discipline in their lives. So they're disciplined toward destiny. And so if we can get to that slide, I don't know if this clicker is going to help me get there. Okay, it seems to be working. Okay. There we go. A discipline towards destiny. This here we see that there's the profound and promised destiny in God's word. If we see in verse number 4 of Genesis 26, you're there. It says, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give thy seed all the countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." There was a destiny that he promised here in his life. Really standing firm in the face of great adversity. And so we see this because he was disciplined to go forward and obey God because he had a why. An Isaac type takes every situation and really maximizes it and makes the best of it. And we see this again in illustration. This couple, they were really operating on a shoestring budget. And really, they were early in their marriage and really wanted to know how they could be financially disciplined. In fact, he wanted his wife, Elizabeth, to be able to stay home with their children. And they seemed that their finances worked against them. And they said, "Well, there's no way that we can make this work." And so they realized they had two options: either continue with what they were doing and get the same results and see that there was no way that this could be done, or ask for some help. And so they did ask for some help, some spiritual help and guidance in this way, and really found out that if the why is strong enough, then you'll endure whatever you need to reach your goal. So for the next month, they kept their receipts and found out what they were spending on certain things. And the bottom line, when it all was said and done, that they realized when they looked at what they spent that they could make more and make the most and be more disciplined and really get to where they needed to be. And it was because the why, what they wanted to do, and how God wanted to bless their family and let Elizabeth stay home with her children. And it says, our why was indeed strong enough, and we disciplined ourselves to make the most of what we had. And so we see that this, again, is an illustration of the Isaac type. And seeing is really eliminating non-essentials means say no to someone, and sometimes say no to someone often to see this and really understanding that that there's things that need to be disciplined in our finances. So what else do we see in the Isaac type? Well, we see potential for recovery and restoration. We see that good enough isn't good enough. They see the potential, the recovery in what could be able to restore damaged assets. Really here in this verse in chapter number 26 and verse 18, you're still there. And it talks about Isaac and digging the wells. And it says, "And Isaac did again the wells of water, which had been digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." Here we see that he saw the potential for recovery, that he saw these wells that were dug in the days of Abraham, but he looked at them and didn't see them as a waste, but he saw what could be and what the potential was. And that's exactly how the Isaac types handles finances and sees what could be. Isaac type, they understand the reality, but they refuse to really see what could become of that. One illustration, if you're familiar with golf and you like golf, and some people like to watch golf. I'm not one of those people that likes to watch golf, but I know there's many that I can see here that could be you. And in September, usually every year, there's the PGA visits a place in Atlanta, the East Lake Golf Club. And the East Lake Golf Club was not always as prestigious as it is now. And there was a gentleman named Tom Cousins. Tom Cousins, at one point in time, that community outside of Atlanta was crime-ridden, was worn down, was some of the lowest of the low in the outskirts of Atlanta. But he saw this community and saw what could be and what could develop from this. And the story goes on to develop into what we know now as the golf club and lots of promising educational opportunities and things that are around that community. But this, he saw the potential and potential for recovery in this way. And those were Isaac types and the core characteristics of an Isaac type. So we also see that the Isaac type, they persist in the face of resistance. He dug wells in opposition. We see that in verses 19 through 22, and we read part of that as our opening verse. But again, he held restraint and kept looking for God's provision. If we look in verse number 16, it says here, "And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." Again, looking, consistently looking to dig those wells and to find God's blessing. Troublesome conditions really are no match for the Isaac type. So if you're an Isaac type, typically you embrace the difficulty because you're disciplined and you're going to get the job done. There's a story of Max, and Max in this story had a dream. And during this time, Max had a dream of owning a house. And for several years, he had finished his full-time job and came to clean the church facilities. So he came and cleaned and tidied up for the church services. And at one particular time, this gentleman passed by him and had a great big grin on his face. And he had to stop and he said, "I'm almost done with the house. I'll be finished next week." And so this gentleman had never really understood why he had worked and why he came work another job. So he inquired and asked Max more about it and says, "I've always wanted land, a place where my children, one day their children could roam freely. My wife had always wanted enough space for the children to have their own room. And now I'm almost finished." And so he had never seen, you know, Max and understood why he was here, but now he gained more information about Max. It says, "And this is why I work a full-time job and then clean this place on the side. I mean, I loved being here, but my wife and I agreed for a season I would invest a few extra hours at the church and save that money and to be able to pay for our home and pay for the things." And so again, another illustration of how disciplined Isaac types are to see and persist in that face of resistance. You know, they also show restraint in their finances. This is an illustration in the book of Genesis chapter 27. That's the story again where Rebecca conjures up a plan for Isaac to bless the youngest son Jacob instead of Esau. And there was some restraint on behalf of Isaac here in the blessing of his son because he should, again, the traditions and following those traditions and the plan where Rebecca tricked him. But again, he's not governed, these Isaac types are not governed by emotions. So they don't get tied up in the emotions of financial decisions. They are disciplined and they know the plan and they're going to follow it and they're going to follow what God has called them to do. And this is sometimes obvious. There's a story that about mission giving. And many times as we give to special mission projects, we have a tendency to follow up with that mission. And we often see videos where we have followed up by giving to a project and want to know, how's it going? How'd that project go? You know, we may give money to certain things for a vehicle or a roof over and we have seen reports of how those things have happened. And Isaac types, really enjoy getting those type of reports and following up the fact that their money has been used and been used to the most and maximized. And so we see mission giving through the eyes of Isaac types. And then we finally see they love getting the best deal. And again, illustration here is they love getting that deal and getting that best deal. There was a millionaire that talked about wanting the best phone contract. Now, we would know that that millionaire didn't need to save money on his cell phone bill, but he enjoyed the challenge of getting that best deal. And if he could save money by switching carriers and it would save him money, that's what he liked. And so, again, those Isaac types are looking to get the best deal. So what is the shadow side? Remember that if you have a strength of discipline, what would be the shadow side? Well, fear is that Isaac shadow side, or that weakness. He is the first person in the Bible that God commanded not to be fearful. And so we see that later in this same chapter, in chapter 26 and verse 24, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." So we see that it moves, if we're not careful, Isaac type moves from discipline and honoring God to a fear and being consumed. It's impossible to be at peace with God if fear drives our finances. I'll turn to and read 1 John in chapter number 4 and verse 8. It says here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Again, hear this idea that fear is impossible for us to be at peace with God. They trust in their own efforts and work ethic. Again, hard work is admirable, but sometimes they get too involved, and you have to be careful and make sure that we're leaning on God for His will and His direction in our life. The discipline becomes the goal and not the pathway, and they also fail to enjoy the resources. Guess what? They're so disciplined, and they're so Isaac types are so rigid that sometimes they don't enjoy the things that God has given. And so we've got to be careful. If we're Isaac types and we see this discipline as our strength, that we're careful that we allow God to let us enjoy what He has blessed us with. And we see that, how do we grow as Isaac types? Well, we see that we embrace the discipline to maximize money. You know, how you focus on maximizing the resources really reflects how God has made us. We lay aside that financial fear and trust in God's faithfulness. You know, when we realize that God is with us and that God is in control, we can really see fear differently. If we look in chapter 26, we read verse 24, but if we read verse 3 again, it says, "Again, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." We see that with God there's a peace. And so the challenge for Abraham types is to trust in the Lord and trust in that peace that we find in God. Also, again, because of the discipline, sometimes we can be really rigid. So sometimes we need to lighten up and enjoy what God has given us. And so we see that those are ways that we can grow if you're an Isaac type. So now we're going to move into looking at Aaron. If we recall, the life of Aaron is this life of service and the life of humility. Aaron was set apart for service. He was Moses' mouthpiece. Really embraced this idea of being set apart for service for the Lord. And so we see the aspect that we see in how Aaron handled finances and stewarded what God had given him is humility. He was very humble in the way he approached the gifts that God has given him. Let's turn to the book of Exodus chapter 28 and verse number 29, and we'll use that as a start to our study on Aaron and the life of Aaron. So we're in Exodus and chapter 28 and verse 29. It says, "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually." We see that the 12 tribes of Israel were on the stones on his garments. The resources flowed through his hands as the priest, and really he realized the humbleness that he had in the position that God had set him apart for. Again, we have to understand that humility is not interpreted as Aaron being weak vessel, but really he had a proper assignment, and God, he was used of God and used of God in this way. And so again, he lived and moved among the people, and he reminds us Praise the Lord, of a God who provides our needs, and He intervenes in the depths of our of the situations in our life, and gives us peace, gives us understanding, gives us the knowledge of His will in our life. And we see that in the life of Aaron and how he was humble and followed God's will. And we also see some of the basic beliefs as money should be used to serve others. They really have a strong sense of obligation to use what God has given them in service and the benefit of other people. They first see the needs of others and then see the needs of their self. They're sacrificial in their finances. Again, they're like Abraham in many ways. Remember, Abraham we studied, and it was a life of hospitality. And they're very much like Abraham types, but the difference is Aaron types feel the strong obligation for service to others. And they firmly believe God will supply their need. And in reality, they don't worry about money because they are trusting in the Lord. We see that some of the other core characteristics of Abraham types is that they're innocent towards money and they're open to adventure. We see that there is focus here on what is before them rather than making long-term plans. Aaron types don't usually make a lot of long-term plans. They're trusting in the Lord to provide their needs and provide the things that are ahead of them. You know, Aaron had to trust the Lord as his sustainer and provider. Turn to the book of Numbers and chapter 18, if you will with me. Numbers chapter 18, and we'll read in verse 20. Thinking of the fact that Aaron had to trust the Lord for his provision. And it says, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel." So we see here that he had to trust fully on the Lord as his position as priest and trust in what God was going to do for him. Again, they're not about maximizing resources. They're just about doing the work and serving others. And so we see that others may look at this and view this as some type of irresponsibility. Like, again, if you're a really disciplined money type, okay, if a husband and wife, you have one that's very disciplined and one that's very, like that account from last week where they started breakfast and he went over the budget, okay? If you are that person, okay, and you're married to a person that's more like an Aaron type, can you imagine sort of the difference in opinion of how God has made us more humble, more unplanning, more free? And so that's where the Lord has to help us understand how He has made us and how we can let Him do a work in our relationships and work inside of us. And so we see that they also have an awareness and concern of the injustice. Again, Aaron handled countless amount of sacrifices for the children of Israel at the time. Each one had a purpose, and each one had a sacrifice for an injustice or a sin. And Aaron types handle money in a spiritual way, but also with the well-being of others in mind. The view of money is not always to try to get a leg up on someone or advance themselves. They're also compelled to do something. They really have a sense that they have to give out of a need to do something with what God has given them. Their heart goes out to a need. In fact, they oftentimes feel personally responsible for getting something done. And there's an illustration of this. This lady, her name is Kristen. And Kristen received a notification at her office that a single mother was in need of a mattress. Now, Kristen herself did not have the means to give a mattress, didn't have a spare mattress, didn't have the money to go buy a mattress, but she felt such compelled to help with this need. And she is an illustration of an Aaron type. And she says, "I begged God to do something. I felt helpless. I knew the only thing I could do was pray. Her need so gripped my heart that I cried out to God and asked Him again. I knew I must do something, but I felt like I had nothing to contribute." The story goes on to find out that she passed by a dumpster near her house, and there was a mattress wrapped up in the plastic that had never been used that she found in that particular instance. And she goes on to give the Lord praise and honor for answering a prayer that she felt so compelled to do something about, to give, to help this young lady in a need and see the need to be answered in that life. And so this illustration in the life of Kristen is the illustration that we see that they have such compelledness to do something to help with a need. And so we see this in Aaron types. We see that they have a priority in meeting a human need over accumulating their own wealth. They, Aaron types, would rather give out of their own wealth and out of their own financial well-being to see others served, to see needs met. And so we see this in the life of Aaron. We see that he did not aspire to rise above the level of Moses. He was happy to serve among the people and to serve others. So what is the shadow type? What is the challenge? If you're an Aaron type, what do you have to watch out for? What's your weakness? We see here it's instability. It's taking too much of a hands-off approach to finances, and it causes really a financial instability. They're too easily persuaded by what others want. Remember, they kind of are driven by emotion, by being compelled to do something. So a lot of times, if they're not careful, they are persuaded too easy. We won't read this for sake of time, but we talked about this a little bit at our last study. But in Exodus 32, we see that while Moses was up on the mount, Aaron was persuaded by the people to build this idol, to really this mold calf, and really here he realizes what he had done. He was persuaded in the wrong way. As a result, you know, he learned and understood and let God do a work in his life and was humble in his character. Again, we see here that also something that may happen as a result of this instability, they may embrace adventure at the expense of stability. Again, Aaron types are so open-minded that they don't make any plans for the future. They just enjoy and give and meet needs, and yet they don't make those plans that they need to make and be responsible for the future. So we have to be careful in that way. Then we see that how can we grow? If you're an Aaron type here, how can you grow in your understanding of who you are and grow in the Lord? First of all, embrace our use of money to meet others' needs. You know, money is not the source and sustainer of our life. As God provides for us, you know, we sense His closeness and we sense a need to give to those needs and give to others. The Lord has, as Pastor talked about earlier, the Lord has blessed Buffalo Ridge, has blessed our church to be able to give to missions, and praise the Lord that our faith promise offering and commitments are, and you've seen in the bulletin, are well above anything that we've seen before. And the Lord is blessing, but also comes with great responsibility to get this out, to get the money to where it needs to be, to the field, to be used for His honor and His glory. But as God provides for us, we sense a need to meet those needs of others. Discern perceived needs versus actual needs. Again, we know that if you're driven by the emotional needs, we have to be careful that we're giving towards a specific need and not just giving spontaneously towards the need. Also, how else do we grow? We draw upon the strengths of Isaac and Moses types. We studied those, but thinking about the maximizing our resources, and we have to make a plan. We can't be so free-spirited in the giving that we don't make some plans. God desires us to plan. Failure to plan is not a badge of honor, that we are showing our great trust in the Lord. He instructs in His Word that He wants us to plan. And so if you see in Proverbs, turn to Proverbs with me in chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6, and we'll read verses 6 through 8. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in harvest." We see here that there is a instruction to make plans for the future here in this section of Proverbs. Also turn to Proverbs 27, and let's read that together as well. Proverbs 27 and verse number 23. It says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Again, here another admonition for us as Christians, as followers of God, to make plans, to know about what God has given us, to know how to use it, to know where it's going. So again, draw upon those strengths of Moses types and Isaac types. And also really understand, become skeptical of being cynical towards money. Again, money as a means to help the world around us, to reach others for the gospel of Christ, with the gospel of Christ. So, in conclusion, as we finish tonight, we've looked at these two types, Isaac types. We saw how disciplined Isaac types could be with finances, but we also saw that because of that discipline, that they can get encapsulated and consumed with fear if we're not careful. We also saw and studied the Aaron type. We saw how humble they were and how committed to service and serving others and using other money to help others and meet needs. But then we saw that if that's gone on too much, there's an instability that can happen. So in way of application tonight, really reflect on those interactions of those types. Again, you may find a husband and wife that have different types. How does that affect your view on your finances in your home and how you relate to one another? How can you interact differently with each other? How might we apply these characteristics of God that we've talked about? We've talked about wonderful characteristics of discipline, wonderful characteristics of humility. Maybe it's something that the Lord has spoke to you tonight in the way of discipline, and the Lord wants us to be more disciplined in ways of our Christian living, in the way that we're studying God's Word and being in His Word. What is it that God might be speaking to you about? Ask, you know, God for wisdom and understanding in these ways, and then one thing that you would plan to do differently as a result of what we've talked about tonight. Pastor?
To just look into some of these things, and I'm challenged myself and compelled to look at some of the strengths and weaknesses all of us have. And as we close tonight, I'm thinking about even in Malachi, the prophet of the Old Testament, he was talking to the people, said, which of you would open or shut the doors for nothing? Meaning they'd gotten so professional that they wouldn't serve unless there was something in it for them. And so there's some of us can get like that. We can say, I've got to be careful with my money. I've got to be careful with all of it, and I can't just do this. And then there's the other part, other person that's just so whimsical that they wouldn't care or know or have any plan to figure out where the next dollar was coming from. And so might you remember this, that God has made us the way we are. Sometimes we use that as an excuse to just not getting better. And that's not a rationale for just, I'll just be the like I am, who cares? But that is instruction for us to figure out who we are, learn from these different types, learn from these different great characterizations, and then figure, okay, what can I do better? And I know that I've been blessed tonight. Would you stand together with me as the ladies play? And I just want to give him an invitation time, and as they play, and if God has spoke to your heart, then I would invite you to come. And you say, Pastor, it's hard to come after a lesson like that. And I understand, but here we are in church. And I never like to close a service, but what I give folks an opportunity to come and just do business with the Lord. Maybe there's something that Brother Shannon didn't even mention. It's not about money. It's just something heavy on your heart. And you'd like to come pray. If you'd like to have somebody pray with you, then we'll certainly facilitate that. Maybe you just want to come pray by yourself, and that's fine as well. But the altar is open. You're welcome to come and pray. Maybe some of you just pray right there in your seat. As Shannon closed tonight, he really pinpointed us what's one thing that we would do differently. And I challenge you to think about that not only tonight, but the last couple of nights and next week as well. How can I be better? Remember, folks, we're only going around this way once. And every time we pass something, maybe the last time we get a chance to do something about it. But if you're here tonight and you want to pray, then certainly this altar is open for you. Well, one last thing is this. I never like to close a service without inviting people to come to Jesus Christ. What's it matter? The Bible says, if you gain the whole world, lose your own soul. Well, the answer is nothing. Wouldn't matter a bit. Wouldn't profit a man. If you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? And I know that's not what he preached on tonight, but you've been having a knock, 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 knock at your heart. instructing you that something needs to be done, would you step out and come? As you look this way, if you're, it's about 8 o'clock and we got to get gone, but we talked about some money. I'm going to ask you to be seated. Talked about our missions and money, and we have had a great opportunity that I believe the Lord would have us get involved with, and I'm going to have him show a video. But to set it up, Brother Levi Mullins and some of the folks that work there in the church plants in England, in the United Kingdom, they've had an amazing opportunity to get a compound basically down in Zimbabwe and to get it free, but there's a lot of work that they want to see in that region of the world, and this video will show a little bit about what door God has opened up, and I'd like to have a part of getting some folks down there to assess and to look over and to start the implementation of what needs to be done. So let's watch this video and then we'll come back up and say a thing or two.
God has opened an amazing door of opportunity in this historic city of Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe. Victoria Falls is one of the 7 natural wonders of the world. You can see behind me the mist of the falls, and this city itself is an extremely important location. Zimbabwe, once the breadbasket of Africa and in many ways much of the world, is in need of gospel preaching churches and training for local ministers and pastors. I want you to pray with us. God has opened an amazing door here for the Crown Christian Heritage Trust, the Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee, and Crown College to establish another arm of ministry, another outreach in this historic city, in this key location, to see the gospel spread forth from this city throughout the country and throughout the continent. Pray with us. We've been given a property right here in Victoria Falls that can be used as a mission station, as a base from which to work for youth camps, pastoral training, church planting, and so much more. Please pray with us as we seek the Lord about what lies ahead.
Maybe I have. There's either sheep or goats.
That's right.
And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But on that judgment day, the Bible says the goats will be separated from the sheep. Did you know that? There's a lot of pretenders today, aren't there? There's a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but they're not. Like these stubborn goats. Like these stubborn goats. And they mix amongst the sheep. By the way, in Jesus' day, it's hard to tell the difference between a sheep and a goat. But don't you worry, the good shepherd knows the difference better. The good shepherd, the good bishop of your soul, knows exactly whether you're the real deal or a fake one. I might be able to fool you today. You might be able to fool me, but you cannot fool all the way. When you stand before him one day, he said, I am the door.
Sorry about some of the sound issues we're having with that. We got downloaded a couple times, but here's the gist of it, that that property was owned by a tour guide, photographer, and would take folks on safaris, and that the couple that owned it has, one of them was a nominal Christian, the other one got saved, and then really got, both of them got charged up, and they said, well, would you want property in Zimbabwe? And so here's a whole new chapter that's opened up to Levi and Derek Moreland, who was the other fellow on there that we support down in Oxford. And so they are passionate about trying to reach that part of the world, and we are as well. And so they've got a lot of work. The meetings there that they were having, they were able to have those just by a little bit of public or a little bit of promotion to come on, gather in, and they were just, you probably could see it, that just laid out black plastic on the ground and put some chairs there and put a little sunshade up over top of them with some tarps, and just the sky's the limit. They've not only got that property, but they've got two other pieces of property now that they either have been given to or given to them to one of these days start a camp and some different things. So it's just got a lot of potential, and but we need a lot of infrastructure to get, or not a lot of infrastructure, but a lot of engineering to get it to where it could be this station where things could just blossom out of there. And so we'd like to be able to help Levi and the Morelands and them get down, back down there. They're going to plan on going back down and then put out the schematic somewhat of what they're going to do to let this be a new mission station. Because the first thing they do is establish a church. Because if you don't have a church, then you don't have anybody to, you don't have, when you do win somebody to God, or you don't have anywhere to bring them in and train them. God, the church is God's workhorse. And so first thing they do is establish church. They've already got some people on the ground there that are helping with those needs and starting to get some Bible studies together. So it's just a lot of good stuff happening. And so I brought the deacons, and we'll have Danny come up, and we've got an amount that we need to invest in to get some of these people down there from England. Strangely, from here to England, over to Zimbabwe, but to help get this thing up and off the ground. Oh, and we want to call the church to business meeting. Call you to order. You've been a little disorderly lately, so we're going to call you to order. And so we call it to order, Danny.
The pastor and the deacons recommend that we give Levi Mullins and Derek Moreland, missionaries to the U.K., $15,400 for travel expenses to go to Zimbabwe, Africa. This will come from the mission fund.
And so this will get their families down there so they can be on location for an extended period of time. They'll get their churches covered while they're away. And then this will really allow them just to do the masterminding of seeing, okay, what does this mean? And they'll be scoping out those other properties and then looking to see how the, you saw that there's a large house that was the owner's house, but then there's other that were caretakers' houses and things, and they'll be looking how they can best fit that for the mission station. And so they're very excited, and I'm excited for them. I got to see Derek Moreland. That's this video is, I saw it at his church when I was there. And so I told him, I said, well, I want to go back to the church and see if we can't help you get down there, because I think it's going to be key to get him and Levi there so that they can know where to go from here with, and the Lord's, the sky's the limit, and only the Lord knows what could go on from there. So with all that being said, the motion is there that we spend that $15,400 to get them and their families down there and cover their expenses to get them there and let them see what's going on and lay the groundwork for going forward for this mission station. So would anybody like to second that motion? All right, Brother Rick McConnell. I don't think I've ever called on you, Rick, from way up there. He's in the sound booth, but we'll take you tonight. And so praise the Lord. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Well, praise the Lord. And that's the only thing we had tonight. So we'd also need a motion to close the business meeting. All right, Brother Nathan Foran makes that motion. And Brother Stephen Gallion seconds. All in favor, let's stand together. And say aye, I guess. Opposed, same sign. Thank you for being in church tonight, and I appreciate each and every one of you. What a joy. Thank you, Brother Shannon, for the great lesson tonight, and I trust that you're seeing yourself in some of these things. And you, tonight might not have been your night, as far as I don't think I was either one of those, but somebody you know is, and that should help you as you better relate to them. So thank you so much. God bless. You're dismissed. Well, amen. Thank you, sir.